Now, the synod itself and the theme of the synod are all very well and very interesting, but actually there's even more to it than that. Just imagine, there are hundreds of bishops from all over the world, as well as scripture experts and auditors, gathered right here in the Vatican, just a stone's throw away from the radio. Of course, we have the list of all the participants present, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get in touch with people who wouldn't normally be here to talk about a whole range of issues. My attention was caught by the presence of Bishop Anton Serrano of Huange in Zimbabwe. I immediately sent him a note asking him whether he would talk to me about the situation in his country. As you probably know, the tragic predicament of the people of Zimbabwe is dear to my heart, and although it's not top news at the moment, as mediators attempt again and again to find a breakthrough to the political impasse that's making effective power sharing impossible, any occasion to talk about Zimbabwe, for me, is a good one. Bishop Serrano agreed to meet with me just outside the Synod Hall. As we spoke, key political players were to gather at a summit in Swaziland after the failure of 4 days of talks on allocating Zimbabwean cabinet posts. Political rivals Tsvangirai and President Robert Mugabe have agreed to share power after a controversial election, much intimidation and violence, and an equally controversial runoff vote. However, Tsvangirai's Movement for Democratic Change has accused Mugabe of trying to grab power by allocating all the key ministerial positions to his ZANU-PF party. Meanwhile, the situation for the impoverished people of Zimbabwe, where life expectancy does not exceed 33 years of age, continues to be dramatic.
At this moment, I can say that the situation is very bad and very sad.
Bishop Serrano told me he is from Spain, but has spent a good part of his life in Zimbabwe, where he was sent as a diocesan missionary 38 years ago.
Many people are missing and lacking the essentials. There is shortage of food. There is no real peace. There is calm. No one dares to say much. But there is no real peace in the hearts of people. I don't think I am wrong if I say that the joy that we usually saw in the faces and in the lives of people is gone down. That is the reality, that is how we are living. It is very sad and very painful to see people hungry, going to bed with empty stomachs, seeing people also, well, I don't say that they have lost hope, right? But with that big, huge question mark of when is this going to end and how is it going to end?
And how, I asked Bishop Serrano, does a man of the church like yourself, with no or very few financial resources, be of help and comfort to a people in such need?
We try to be one more, one of them, one in the middle of the community. We try to show our support, to see that we are just in the same boat, to see that we don't want privileges, and to try by all means here and there to get as much as we can and to distribute it to the population. And above all, I think it is also our contribution, or it wants to be our contribution, to bring to them the hope and the peace that the gospel can bring in such a situation, to bring the gospel values and to try to leave them in as much as we can.
You are based in a very rural part of Zimbabwe. How are the people fending for themselves? Are they managing to plant their seeds? This is the beginning, I think, of the planting season. What about healthcare? Do they have any kind of structures they can turn to?
The structures are there, but they are not working because of the socio-political and the economic situation that everybody knows and is aware about. All these institutions, especially schools, I mean education and health, unfortunately, have gone down very much. The hospitals and the health centers are there, but there are no medicines, right? We are lacking the most essential things, right? At times, simple things as a bit of betadine, cotton wool, bandages, panadols, right? And things of the sort. It is sad to say, but I think that is the general reality.
I understand that a lot of the teachers have been fleeing because they have been persecuted by the government forces before the election.
Yes, that has been the case in between the two elections, I mean the first and the rerun right. of the elections. And it is not only, it's not that the only reason, it is also the salaries. They are so low that they say they cannot live on that. The same applies, the same happens to the nurses. Unfortunately, many people who have qualifications, they are running away from the country. Not so much for political reasons, I think, as for financial reasons. Just looking for greener pastures. They are well trained, well prepared in Zimbabwe, and then they go to other places. Will they come back to the country? That is a big question mark. If the situation changes soon, there is hope that people will come back to help their own people.
The people of Zimbabwe have been hoping for change for so long. The first election, the runoff election, then this power-sharing deal, which yes. is on the rocks again. Yes. Are they still hoping?
I should think so. I would say that hope is the last thing that one loses, isn't it? I think there is hope. No one is eternal, and the situations also are not eternal. They cannot last for much longer. We certainly hope that with the help of God, with or the good will of everybody, common sense will prevail. And also the desire of peace and well-being for everybody will also prevail. The Zimbabwean people are very peaceful and they are kind and good and they are not selfish on their own. Now, because of the situation, we can find ourselves being more selfish than we used to be. But it is forced by the situation.
What is the first thing that needs to happen in Zimbabwe to make things change?
Well, I think we need a new constitution, which is well prepared and is approved and accepted by all. I think people understand, and people are politically minded, right, and socially minded. I think they can take their own decision. But I see that this is the main point. And from there, from a new constitution approved and accepted by all people, then from there we can begin anew, we can have a new start.
Yes, I remember speaking to Father Oscar Wermter, head of Jesuit communications in Harare, just days after the sham election and the victory of the ruling ZANU-PF party. He too spoke of the need for a new constitution.
We also need very badly a new constitution, but present constitution gives the president excessive power and allows him to rule past parliament without really being answerable to parliament, and that is one of the root causes of our present troubles.
And thinking back to so many other conversations I have had in the past months with people in or involved in Zimbabwe, I remember one with Dennis Benton of the Zimbabwean Vigil in London, in which he painted a very clear and quite comprehensive picture of the troubled situation.
There's already starvation in Zimbabwe. Inflation is now, in real terms, at billions of percent a year. The main industry in Zimbabwe now is queuing up at the banks for hours in the heat of every day to withdraw an amount which will allow you to buy a loaf of bread. education system has totally collapsed. Exams are not being held this year. The universities have not opened. That's the education system. The health system is an even worse state. If you want treatment at any government hospital, you have to take all the medicines and equipment that you will need. Few people have the finance for this. That's the health system. The agriculture system has collapsed. The United Nations estimates that half the population will need food aid by early next year.
Well, it's all very well to keep Zimbabwe in the news, or at least keep it from slipping from collective imagination with images of suffering and injustice. But surely, I said to Bishop Serrano, there must be something else that we, that I, can do.
We are living now in a global village, and people of Zimbabwe are part and parcel of people in Europe, people in America, people everywhere. Like the Europeans are also part and parcel of Zimbabwe. We think of them, we look at them, we expect from them understanding, prayers, and help in as much as they can. Also, material help, if possible. Yeah.
There are many missionaries, as you were saying, in Zimbabwe to whom we can send material help, aren't there?
Well, of course. We Catholics, we have 8 dioceses where help could be sent and could be, if there are people who are interested, they can ask and see and find out which are the ways and means to send and to help. And apart from us Catholics, there are also other Christian organizations which are very much interested in helping and making the help coming from overseas reach the local population.
Standing there in the bright sunshine in front of the Synod Hall, I could see the sadness in Father Serrano's eyes. He's a gentleman, and he flinched visibly when I pointed at the significance of Zimbabwe's tragically low life expectancy figures. "Please," I said to him, "tell me that you're hopeful."
Yes, I am. I am. I certainly think that God will not leave us alone. I pray that He may show us clearly what can we do and what should we do, what should we say, right, and how should we act, we as church people, to help the country to end up with this crisis and to have a new start. But certainly I am hopeful, and very much hopeful.